Welcome to Jeffers Brief, only on Concha Radio Network.
Good afternoon, John Jeffers here. The Jeffers Brief, doing a test broadcast. We're using the Gillisound Audio Recorder Pro 7.3. So far, so good. I like what I have to hear. I'm welcoming you here to the Jeffers Brief. You know, there's a little thing I want to play for you. I think you'll enjoy it.
It's 11:59 at Radio Free America, and this is Uncle Sam with Music and the Truth Until Dawn. Right now, I've got a few words for some of our brothers and sisters in the occupied zone. The chair is against the wall. The chair is against the wall. John has a long mustache. John has a long mustache. It's 12 o'clock, Americans, another day closer to victory. And for all of you out there on or behind the lines, this is your song.
Now, hopefully some of you might know where that's from. I'm sure most of you do. Anyways, just an update. I want to let you guys know. I have spent almost $200 on cutting-edge software, new software programs, all in attempt because, you know what? I want these two new platforms that we're on, whether you're listening through Live 365, catching the music and the new CRN episodes, or you're just catching the podcast on podbean.com. That's where you're going to find us. So I figured as long as we're going to do that, might as well start getting some software, some cutting edge software that I could find. And, I've got to tell you, I've got to be honest with you, when it came time for a lot of this stuff, I found a lot of it did not work. Big surprise. But anyways, that's what we were talking about. I wanted to be sure that we had the best I could get. And this is the best I could find, the best I could get. I hope you enjoy it. Let's talk about something that I'm sure some of you understand, know, or have heard of, perhaps. Or maybe you haven't because you're new to the CRN Facebook group, Contra Radio Network. We're talking about the term the gray man. That's right, the gray man. So let's talk a little bit. Final Prepper was good enough to post this. I like it a lot. I think I wanted to share it with you. It's becoming the gray neighbor. That's right, becoming the gray neighbor. I want you to be able to know what it is, especially for your new people out there, your new preppers, even your new patriots. This applies also, depending on where you are, what's your situation. If you practice situational awareness, as you should, I've preached on it, I've harped on it, I've begged on it, spoke about it, so we should be able to, take care of that. Anyways, so let's get started here. Have you heard of the gray man concept? Excuse me. Now, the earliest record I could find on this in the prepper survival circles was in a post on the Western Rifle Shooters Association website by someone calling themselves Habcan. I don't know if he created the concept or copied this article from another location, but recommend reading the article if you haven't already. For those of you who don't know about the gray man concept, I'll summarize it for you. The gray man concept simply means you're blending in and not sticking out. Now, personal note here, we've talked about this. When the critical event happens, and it will, do not. Oh no, what's this? Oh no, we'll have to just ignore that. That was the wife calling, she can wait. What I wanted to tell you about is when the critical event does happen, and it will, do not. Go jumping into your battle dress uniform. Don't do that. That will come later. There'll be plenty of time for that later for you to go out and play survivalist at large. You don't need to do that, okay? So the gray man concept simply means blending in and not sticking out. You want to dress, move, and act in a way that is completely forgettable. This is done so you cannot draw unnecessary attention to yourself as you go about life. And I think the initial focus was on people who were carrying concealed firearms. Now, there are lots of examples of how this larger concept could work in your favor to keep you safe, and many survival and prepper blogs bring this concept up as a way to live or a strategy for how to avoid becoming a target of people intent to do you harm or incarcerate you or take your stuff. Okay? So I was thinking of this idea in a different context, though it related to life after a crap hits the fan scenario. Now, one of the readers contacted me with some questions after reading the post from Selko on the SHTF school blog. Selko is from the Balkans. He lived through the Balkan War from 92 to 95. He has created an excellent online course titled 1 Year in Hell that offers training derived from his own experiences living surrounded in the real crap world of a war zone without power for a year. He says, did you ever hear about survivor's guilt? Feeling of being guilty because you survived that many others you know did not. There is something else that can help you to not feel that because it can kill you. It's what I call survivalist hate by people around you. I'm going to repeat that again. It is called survivalist hate by people around you. You know, I often read how people want to help other folks when the crap hits the fan, and it is really good. But, hold on. What is this? Come here. There we go. That won't happen again. I had to turn the phone volume all the way down. Don't want to be interrupted. So there. I often read how people want to help other folks when they're, you know, when they're critical event, and it is really good. But in reality, it works different. I'm going to say that again because it's that important. Because half this country makes their decisions based on feelings and emotions because it makes me feel good. I'm going to say this again. We often read how people want to help other folks when shit hits the fan. But it is really good. But in reality, it works different. When the crap hits the fan, and I mean really, most of the people will not like you because you are prepared. People will hate you. Even if you help them, it will never be enough. They will hate you because you are prepared. You have food, water, weapon, and shelter for you and your family. And they do not have anything like that, even though they've been told time and time again. No, the government will take care of me. Kiss my ass. They won't. You'll be into a FEMA camp faster than you can sneeze. And they will do it. I've seen how people robbed man and his family, torching his house because he had lots of goods. He gave some of that stuff to some folks a week before. And by that logic, folks said he knew that crap is going to hit the fan. And he was like guilty for them. People were angry that he prepared but did not tell them. This is what you can call survivalist hate. Think about it. Sentences like, well, he could have warned us, or he must have stolen this from somewhere, otherwise he would not have that much. Do not expect normal, logical thinking. It does not happen much in normal times, and it is less in survival scenarios for most common folks. It was these words that caused our reader to question how much they should volunteer to help their community in an emergency. Mark had been thinking about trying to organize resources in the community now before any crises, but reading Selko's story above had him reconsider going out on a limb, telegraphing he might have resources or skills and potentially becoming a victim like the man robbed for his supplies. So this is what led me to consider the gray man concept, as it could be applied to your home and resources in a critical event. It is one thing to control your appearance and actions in a crowd to avoid detection, but what about your supplies in your home? Always invisible in plain sight. You come and go like the wind. Depending on the crises, I have to believe there is a timeline of phrases that people go through. The crises would dictate that timeline to a large degree, and that an earthquake, for example, would destroy everything relatively quickly, and then you'd be recovering for some time afterwards. The initial violence would be up front, and then people would start dealing with problems after the shaking stopped. It would be similar with any other natural disasters, I assume. Something like a regional war or an economic collapse or even pandemic would cause a different timeline, but regardless of how long it took people to start feeling the effects of any crisis, eventually your neighbors could be dealing with illness or injury, disruptions in food, safety concerns from looters, or approaching military forces. Unless you were quarantined in your homes, invariably neighbors would be talking at some point, sharing information, and learning how others were faring. It is at this time that the prepared individual could fall into that situation described above. There are many aspects to this, and realistically, how you act towards your neighbors and the situations you face after a crisis could be the subject of a dozen articles, but I will focus on this one viewpoint in the post. There is something to be said for charity and something else for self-preservation. If we are faced with a situation like above, what could you do to keep your family safe and your supplies that you have been storing up in your hands and not in the hands of an angry mob? Never draw attention to himself. Now, two things come to mind when trying to think about the gray man concept in your home. The first is that before anything happens, you want to be practicing OPSEC as much as feasible in your situation. For you new people, OPSEC, O-P-S-E-C, new listeners, new preppers, new patriots, OPSEC, operational security. The less people know about the supplies you have stored, what you may be preparing for, your political beliefs, etc., the less likely they are going to think of you if something happens. I've said it before, but unless you live in an area where this is common, and there are lots of areas where it is, I wouldn't be seen out at the Chili's in your camouflage pants and army boots. Don't get me wrong, I have these myself, but I save the camo for hunting season. Whenever I am hunting, there are thousands of other guys who look what? Just like me, and I blend in. Not necessarily at Chili's, but you get the point. You understand? Yes? Makes sense? Yes? So, getting back to it. If you're getting supplies of food shipped in, make sure that these are dealt with in a way that doesn't draw attention. I wouldn't stack boxes of MREs up in front of the shed while your neighbor is mowing their grass. If you're loading guns into the car for a trip to the range, do it discreetly. I don't normally do a quick visual check to make sure no one is outside first and back the car into the garage so I can get them loaded quickly. So have a safe being delivered to your house. Try to do this during the time of day most of your neighbors are at work. You know, large purchases from Sam's or Costco could be construed the same way. You know, a bulk pack of toilet paper is one thing, but 5 50-pound bags of rice or several 45-pound pails of freeze-dried food are another. Are you practicing open carry to make a statement? Well, are you? You know, the next part, and probably the harder the two to pull off, would be after the shit hits the fan. How do you keep your supply secret? How do you maintain OPSEC when everyone else is watching you simply because, well, they have nothing else to do? Gray man avoids confrontation. If it would really depend on the scenario, I think it would really depend on the scenario. For instance, if everyone was without power, I might not light my house up at night. Knowing that you have a power source, maybe solar panels, right, Gary? Right, Brian? Could give it away that you have resources that they don't what? They don't have. That's right. Of course, the situation would dictate how badly you are hated for having power if your neighbors don't. But I think eventually it could cause problems. That's true. Let's, I mean, you know, it is. You know, let's say there wasn't an EMP, but the grid was taken down by terrorists. Every appliance still works, but the power simply isn't coming through the wires anymore. Maybe it's coming through haphazardly, you know, not as dependable as it used to be. You know, your electricity could, at bare minimum, provide conveniences like power for fans, maybe ability to recharge batteries, or enable entertainment devices. One of the prepper supplies I made sure I had was a giant roll of heavy black plastic. It has many uses, but one of them could be to black out my windows. At night, I could run electric and not draw attention. You get those on eBay, pretty cheap too. Food is another resource that'll be tough to keep secret, especially if you're cooking outside. The smell of food to a hungry person, well, let's put it that way. It's like blood in the water for a shark. They're coming. They are. They're coming. So, you know, this smell of food for a hungry person is not something you can easily keep a lid on, and you're not going to. You could heat water outside and use that for your freeze-dried foods as one way to keep the fact that your family is still eating somewhat under wraps. Eventually, though, people will notice that you aren't getting slimmer. What? That's right. So what about weapons? This is one of the things I consider because I've made preparations that would allow me a certain tactical advantages over my unprepared neighbors. What if there was the threat of violence from people walking through and looting? Would I go walking down the street in my tactical holster, my bulletproof vest, and battle rifle on day one? I just talked about this. Probably not. But eventually, if things got bad enough, that might be my daily outfit. I think if that were the case, my neighbors and I would have other things to worry about other than what I had in my house. My hope is that if things ever get that bad, I'll be able to help my neighbors, and my contributions on that front will give me grace. And maybe that is foolish. Even if you are completely secretive about your supplies and your neighbors are completely self-sufficient themselves, you could face a time when someone is banging on your door, demanding, mind you, you to share what you have. That's also referred to as the government. Have you thought about what you would do if that happened? Like I said, there are many aspects to this concept, and the final possible confrontation is for another time, another podcast. But practicing the gray man concept for your home and a critical event scenario might put that off for a little while longer, though, or prevent it entirely. And I think if you really think about being the gray man, that's the whole point. You don't want to, you know, go crazy with it. Like I said, don't go throwing your camis just because, it's grid down. No. Way wrong way to think about that. All right. Okay. That's what I have to say. Now, in case you were not aware of it, I want to give you the brief rundown. We got the giveaways. Giveaways! It's not going to cost you nothing. On the CRN Facebook page, the first round of giveaways are for listeners and subscribers to the group page on Facebook. I have not made that public. If you want on them, you got to come into the group. How do you get in the group? Well, you got to ask to join the group. You all know that. You all went through it. My point is this. The next round, because we've changed platforms and invested all this money, we're going to try to expand the show, try to get more people listening. We'll be more of a public giveaway, get more people interested in this. That's the whole point, okay? As for the other DJs, I got Dawn on special assignment. And, you know, you might see her here, you might hear from her here and then if you listen to her show. Rob is doing the homesteader thing still. A public thank you goes out to Rob because I'll tell you, I got to do a public thank you to him because while the last month and a half while I've been, you know, pulling my hair out, contemplating, you know, cutting my wrist and bleeding out slowly because I can't find the proper platforms I want to do this on and everything else, Rob kept doing his show, The Growing Homestead. He kept doing it. And I appreciate him so much. He carried CRN. And then we got Chuck. Chuck was trying to help me, but then he had issues with work and whatnot. So his kind of fell off. But he did a couple shows. But right now, I've got Dawn on a special assignment. I'm working on a little bit something different in the future. I'm going to tell you this. It's for disabled veterans, and perhaps even veterans who aren't disabled. But that's enough right now. I don't want to put too much out there, because if it doesn't come to fruition, then I'm going to look like a jackass. And look, I've got enough of that issue. I don't need to keep perpetuating the myth. I don't. Or perpetuating the stereotype, as the case may be. And don't forget, one thing to do with the podcast now is we are going to be putting it up on the Live 365. If you want to listen in your car, listen to some music or whatnot, it's my radio station. If you want, you don't like my music, that's cool. Get your own radio station. I got no problem with that. My radio station, I play 60s, 70s, and 80s, and maybe something from the 90s and, you know, later. But other than that, I don't, you know. So I mix that in with a few CRN episodes. And as we get more and more episodes, fresh CRN episodes, they'll be replacing the old Blog Talk Radio episodes. So it is happening. It is going. If you enjoy the podcast and you don't want to listen to that, you just want the podcast listened to on your way from work or at the doctor's office or, you know, sitting in the dentist chair, whatever, you can go to podbean.com, look us up. If you have an Android or an Apple device, you can download the apps for Podbean. And guess what? You can listen to the show through your phone if you want. Yes. It is possible. That's one of the reasons why I chose Podbean. That, and we can also upload the videos. Some of you like the videos. I'll put some of those videos up there. And once we get some MP3 formatted episodes, I will release the hounds and we will start doing the videos again and the MP3s, so the audio formats, so that we can get it all taken care of. Actually, the beauty of this new software I have is we could very possibly start doing the videos again. The beauty is I can take those videos and I could strip off the audio, and instead of being MP4, change the format to MP3 and upload it that way. Yes, like I said, I spent a lot of money on this. If you like to help, and this is something else for you people, you listeners out there, huge, huge thank you. I want all of you to know something. There's a handful of you listeners out there that support the show through Patreon.com. P-A-T-R-E-O-N. Patreon.com. During the time that I was trying, we left Blog Talk until the time we're back up again, not one supporter pulled their financial support. Not one. I thank you so much. I am so humbled and grateful for you. You kept the faith, and I hope I haven't let you down. But know this, I didn't lose one financial supporter during this entire thing. We didn't gain anybody, but we didn't lose anybody either. And that's important. That tells me that this show's important to some people. I say thank you. I say thank you. I say thank you. Now, another thing, we're going to try to keep the episodes to about 30 minutes. It might end a little bit sooner, might go a little bit longer. And I don't mean go a lot longer, because now we're dealing with bandwidth. Podbean.com, because I've got their, you know, the world will never end package, unlimited bandwidth. With Live 365, I got to keep an eye on the bandwidth, or the, not the bandwidth, but the storage. I'm sorry, the storage we're using. Bandwidth is unlimited on both of them. So, tell the truth, you know, and I'm going to, you know, if you, oh, iTunes people, we're on iTunes. The feed is up. It's good. Feel free. We need you to rate the show. Rate it. You're on iTunes. If you listen to it through Stitcher, rate it, rate it, rate it. We're good on Stitcher, too. What I wanted to tell you is that we're... No, what was I going to say? Darn, I hate when they go. I get going, I want to tell you all everything, and then, you know, my feeble mind gives out on me. Son of a bitch. You know, what was I talking about? Oh, yeah. We spent, like I said, I spent a lot of money on this, my own money on it. And I got to tell you, monthly, we're going to spend about $230 a month on these new platforms. If, by some chance, you feel like you want to donate to patreon.com to CRN, help support us, if you could throw us $5 a month, you know, if we had, I'll tell you right now, if every listener threw in $5 a month, we wouldn't have this issue. Actually, we might be able to do something a little bit more than what we're doing now. But just the same, I appreciate for what's out there already. If you feel like you could throw $5 a month, that'd be cool. I'd appreciate it. I'd be grateful for it. Maybe if you can only throw $2 a month, I'll take that. But tell the truth, I'd rather have $5 or more a month. But it's up to you. You know, this is what it's about. All right. We're coming up on the end of it. I'm going to get this done, put it out there for your consumption. I want to say thank you again for listening here to Contra Radio Network. I'm John Jeffers at The Jeffers Brief. Yes, The Jeffers Brief. Anyways, hey, guys. Seriously. Be safe, be alert, and be vigilant. I'm John Jeffers from the Contra Radio Network saying thank you again for listening, and we'll get back to you again soon.